Thank you for listening to this sermon from Axe Christian Church. We hope you are blessed by the following message.
Apostle started on our values that we carry here at church. There are five core values that we believe and that we carry out, and we started sharing with you with them 2 weeks ago. Apostle spoke on attitude, and today I want to speak to you about engagement, being engaged in the kingdom of God. And so let me do a quick recap and just let you know what are our values. We use the word HEART as an acronym, H-E-A-R-T. Those five letters, and we use them as an acronym with words. And our hearts are important to God. Come on. You must understand, God is interested in the state of your heart. People think he's interested in the state of your bank accounts and the state of the clothes you wear. I want you to know he's more interested in the state of your heart, because out of the heart, the issues flow. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, when Prophet Samuel was looking for the next king, he went through all the siblings, all the brothers of Jesse, all the sons of Jesse, and he was looking at the muscles, he was looking at the wisdom, but God said to the prophets, I look at the heart. Even Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, Pharisees, you look at the outside of the cup, I look at the inside. In the book of Proverbs, it says that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is and so he becomes. So God is interested in our hearts. He's interested in the state of your heart. And so we believe as a church that God, that everything that happens in your life first starts in your heart. So we're going to impact the heart. So here are our values from the word heart. H stands for honor. We honor God firstly with our lives, Monday to Sunday. We don't just honor God on a Sunday, we honor God tomorrow morning. And even on the public holiday. Hello, somebody. Right, we honor God Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday when we lose the rugby, we honor God, right? We honor him with our lives. We honor him with our worship. It means coming on time for worship. We honor him with our praise. We honor him with our songs to him. We honor God with our giving. We honor God with our tithe. And then we honor him with soul winning. Acts shall be a church that will always have a passion to reach the lost. We will reach our city. We will reach our nation. We will reach our country. Amen? And so we honor God in those things. Then E stands for engaged. And I'm going to speak about that in the next few minutes. A is for attitude. Apostle spoke about that 2 weeks ago. And he said two things that were so powerful that I took away from that. He said, your attitude will determine if you are promoted or demoted. Now, you think maybe promotion comes in business and work, but I take it another step. Have you ever come across someone that had a really bad attitude, and in your mind, they got demoted? Come on, you've been to the shops, your favorite store. You went to your favorite store, and the person at the till had such a bad attitude, suddenly the store got demoted. Come on, someone. You went to, I better not mention names. You went to restaurants, right? And they were the top, but because of their attitude in your mind, they got demoted. Well, I tell you what, your attitude will either promote you or it will demote you. The second thing he mentioned was, and I thought this was very powerful. He said, your attitude will determine if your house will be a home or a war zone. So I want to encourage you, if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, go download this message on our YouTube or on our Facebook. It will impact your life. Then, of course, R is for reliable, which means as a church, that as God's people, whatever God has put in our hands, we're going to be reliable with. God has put in you a gifting. He's put in you a talent. He's put something in your hand. And whatever he's put in your hand, you're going to be reliable with it. You're not going to be like the servant that took what he had and dug a hole and covered it up. No, we're going to be like the other two that took what we had in our hand and we put it to work. And it grew. We're going to be reliable with what God has put in our hands. And then lastly, T stands for teachable, where we are willing to grow. We're willing for people to speak into our lives. That someone can come to you and say, listen, we need to move on. We need to grow. God is moving this way. Let's go this way. You know, we can't say church has been happening like this for the last 300 years. No, I tell you what, when the cloud moved, the people moved with the cloud. And so as a church, we're going to say, Lord, we're going to be teachable. We're going to be a people that is teachable and listen to where you want to move us. So those are our five values that we carry. And I want you to know, church, that if we believe that if we would live according to these values, we will be a great church. That was one amen. We believe that if you would live by these values, you will be a great people. Right. Engaged. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read these seven verses quickly to you. Paul's writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, and that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Before I get into all these verses, let me just state the following that Paul states there. He says this. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, I want you to know what Paul is saying here is not talking about works. It's through Christ we can do all things, right? It's by grace that we are saved, all right? So we do these things through Christ. Christ gives us the strength to do these things. And then, of course, Paul unpacks three different kinds of people. So let me spend a couple of minutes and talk about these three. Firstly, he talks about a soldier. I'm not sure what comes to your mind when you think of a soldier, but here's a couple of things that come to my mind. Number one, commitment. A soldier is committed. A soldier is focused. A soldier is single-minded to complete the mission ahead. If you're in the army, you get missions to go on. Single-minded. When you think of soldier, you think of discipline. I think there's discipline. You think of order. You think of strength. How about this? A soldier has unquestionable obedience to his commanding officer. Right? Now, here Paul says, he addresses us and he says, hey guys, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are soldiers in God's army. If you didn't know, you are in the army. Come on, tap your neighbor, tell him, you are in the army now. If you don't know, you are in the army now. We are in the army. And what does that mean? That if we're in the army, the same characteristics apply to our lives. That we too, we got to be disciplined. That we got to be committed. That there is a mission for our lives. There is purpose for your lives. And that most importantly, that there's unquestionable obedience to our commander in chief. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the captain of the host. His name is Jesus. You have been enlisted in the army. Number two, Paul then shifts the focus to another person, and it's to an athlete. Now, when you think of athletes, you think someone with high discipline. They're definitely not going to KFC after the service. Come on. They're disciplined in what they eat. They're disciplined in how they sleep. They're disciplined in how they train. They work on their stamina. They work on their endurance. They work on their muscle to do what? To achieve the prize. To win the race. Have you ever heard an athlete say, I just want to come fifth? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard your children who are about to take part in athletics on a Sunday or during a school day, and they say to you, Dad, I can't wait. I want to be third. No, my son's like, I want to be first. I'm going to win this race. And that's what an athlete's mindset is. They are going to win this race. And again, Paul is alluding to us as Christians that we are in a race. Welcome, athletes. No KFC for you guys today. We are all in a race, and it requires discipline. It requires endurance. It requires a building of spiritual muscle. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says there, it says that to everyone, God has marked a race. In other words, there is a race designed just for you. When you were born, you stepped into what God had planned for your life. You got to understand this morning, there's no such thing as an accident. There's no such thing as there's no purpose. There's no such thing as no mission. There is a purpose for your life. There is a mission for your life. You are busy with a race, if you like it or not. Amen. Come on, tap your neighbor and say, how's the race going? Come on, how's the race going? There is a race that you are in that you've been marked with. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a plan for your life. It's a plan that will prosper you. It's a plan that won't harm you. It's a plan that is good for you. It's a plan full of hope. Hello, somebody. That's God's plan for you. That's the race He has you on. God is calling us athletes in His kingdom. Then Paul talks about the farmer. In fact, he says the hard-working farmer. I think it takes a lot of work to run a farm. Think about it. You got to cultivate the land, put the minerals in the soil. Then you've got to sow the seed, and then you've got to water, and then you have to cultivate, and then you have to wait and wait for the seasons to change, and then you reap the fruits, and then you start all over again. It is a long, tedious process. It is hard work. And Paul, he's calling us farmers. You know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 9, it says this. For whatever a man sows, he shall also. Welcome, farmer. We are all farmers. It's no more Farmer Brown, it's Farmer Sam. In fact, take the word farmer and put your name behind it. Are you ready? Farmer. I only hear three people trying it. Come on, just try it. It's fun. Just try it. Ready? One, two, three. Farmer. Farmer Karusha? Farmer Saki? Farmer Yogen? It might not sound politically correct, but I want you to know every day when you speak words, you're sowing. Whatever you're putting your hands to, you are sowing. Whatever you're doing, you're going to be reaping what you say. There's going to be a reaping on what you do. Every day you are farming. And it might not be bad, but we're farming. And so Paul is saying, hey, church, it's time to rise, because we're part of an army. We're part of an athletic team. We're part of farming. And what's so interesting about all three of these guys, they all reaped something. If you read it carefully, it says that the soldier gains the approval of his officer, his commanding officer. It says that the athlete wins the race. It says that the farmer receives the first share of his crops. Now, I said all of this to say this. With all three illustrations, they all have one very important common denominator. And that's this. To achieve success in our lives, it requires, number one, hard work. That was one amen. Okay, let's try that again. It requires hard work. It requires discipline, and it requires purpose. You see, today in today's age, mankind, we're striving for certain things. We're striving to look after our bodies. We're eating well. We're going to the gym. We're striving to make sure we look after ourselves. Then there are those that are striving to get a better education. After they leave school, they go to university, and then they carry on and get their PhD, and then they get their doctorate, and they carry on, and they strive to get a better education. Then there are those that keep on climbing the corporate ladder, trying to get a better job, trying to get better money, trying to get a better position. You know, there are those that have their car, and every Sunday, they're making sure their car is spotless. All these things are important. All these things God wants for our lives. But this is what I want you to hear this morning. The kingdom of God needs the same kind of devotion. The kingdom of God needs the same kind of attention. The kingdom of God needs the same participation. God is looking for people that put all their energy into the world stuff. They need to take some of that energy and put it into the kingdom. See, for too long, we look at the pastor to extend the kingdom. Come on, the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher. We want the fivefold to do the work of the kingdom. Well, I tell you what, that is scripturally incorrect. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the fivefold ministers were there to equip the people. For what? To do the work. Now, you know when they say the pastors don't have a job, they're correct. Because we're here to equip you. We're here to train you. We heard it impart into you. That's our job. That's our role. And God is looking for men and women who are disciplined, who work hard, who have a single purpose in their careers, not only to have it in their careers, but now to take some of that and use it in the kingdom. What am I trying to say? This is what I'm trying to say. We need to make some space for God's mission in our lives. And when I say space, this is what I mean. I don't mean you must just take 15 minutes of your day and allow God to work in that 15 minutes. No, this is what God is saying. God is saying you got to do well in business. You got to do well in sports. You got to do well in education. You got to do well in all these areas. But in all these areas, let's make space for God. Let's put His mission into our work. Let's put His mission into our athletics. Let's put His mission into our studies. Let's put His mission into all our hobbies. Let's put His mission into our lives. That's what God is asking us today. That's what Jesus said. Seek first. Seek first what? The kingdom of heaven. Seek first His kingdom. Then all these things shall be what? It's funny, it doesn't say you have to work for it. Come on, did you see that? Seek first the kingdom and all these things shall be. Say it louder. Say it louder. Added. Seek first, Jesus said. Seek first. Well, let me finish these last 10 minutes and talk about why do we want people to be engaged in the kingdom? What are the benefits of serving God and getting involved in the kingdom? Well, here's a few that will really bless you. Number one, when we are engaged with building God's kingdom, we don't have time for worthless distractions. Come on. We don't have time for worthless distractions. I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to phone somebody like 10 times and every time it was engaged? And engaged. Do you know why? I'm not talking about the cell towers are down. I'm saying because they were on a call. Hello, somebody. When you try to phone somebody and it's engaged, it's because they're on a call. In other words, when you are on call with God, the enemy has no access to your ears. Come on, somebody. When you are engaged with God, the enemy has no way to get through to you because every time he tries to get your number, it's engaged. Why? Because you are engaged in the kingdom. You're engaged in the marketplace. You're engaged on the road. You're engaged in school, in your studies. I find so many individuals, they're so bored that they get up to mischief. In fact, the enemy has them on speed dial. Because he knows, I just need to push on speed dial, it's going to be ringing straight away. No. When we are engaged in the kingdom of God, the enemy has no way of getting through to us. Amen? Number two, being engaged causes us to grow. Causes us to grow. How many of you are married? Some of you got half hand, not sure what that means. But you remember when you got engaged? You took the ring and you put it on her finger and said, will you marry me? Hopefully she said yes. What were you saying when you got engaged? You were saying, I am now committing myself to you. I'm telling the world They can see it. I'm telling every person, there's no other person I'm interested in. I'm committing my life to you. And it is the same for the kingdom. When we are engaged in the kingdom, we're saying to God, Lord, I'm going to be committed to you. Committed to you, Lord. Do you know that God is fully committed to you? I think some of you need to hear that again. God is fully committed to you. So much so that his son died for your sin before you were born. Talk about a God that is committed to his people, who loves his people. Engagement causes us to grow. You know, being engaged in the kingdom is true discipleship. See, discipleship doesn't happen on a Sunday. Discipleship happens when you start interacting with people. It's because, you see, let me give you a secret. Don't tell anybody. God uses people to irritate you to cause you to grow. Now, I know you all just thought of that person that irritates you. I can see the faces. I can just see all the faces. The people that really irritate you, the people that grind you, do you know who put them there? God. Come on. God is going to use people to grow you. God's going to use people to stretch you. God's going to use people to develop you on the inside. He's going to expose some things that are in the heart. Through who? People. You're saying, Lord, I can't stand this job. I can't stand my boss. There's something that God wants you to learn first. Come on, somebody. Tap your neighbor and say, I know that person. Come on, you know that person. Right? God uses people. Let me say this. Character is never built in isolation. Character is built around people. When a person says, oh, I don't need friends, I don't need to be in church, I don't need to get involved, that person is dangerous. Do you know why? Because water that is stagnant spreads disease. But water that flows brings life. It's the same in the Christian's life. If you're not around people and people are not rubbing you on the wrong way, you're not growing, I tell you what, stagnation is happening. And so when we get involved in the kingdom of God and we put our hands to the plow, guess what's happening? You're growing. Hello, somebody. We're growing in Jesus' name. Number three, engagement makes you part of the story, not just the storyteller. Makes you part of the story. I don't know if you still read the newspapers, but these days it's e-news or News 24. Now it's on your phone. But imagine instead of reading the headline, you are the headline. I'm not talking about corruption headline. I'm talking about a good headline. Come on, somebody. Good headline. Imagine your name is the headline. Madrand. Jason Naidu brings joy to Madrand. Headline news. Imagine you are the headline. Well, I'll tell you what, God wants you to be part of the story, not just reading about the story. Let me put it this way. Imagine, Kaiser Chiefs versus Pirates. Final game. Logs are equal. Whoever wins this match wins the tournament. Are you ready? Or maybe take it another step. It's the final game, Liverpool versus Manchester. Oh, sorry, that's easy. Liverpool will win. Okay, go back here. Easy enough, right? Chiefs versus Pirates. Stadium is packed to capacity. 50,000 people. Can I ask you a question? Where would you rather be? In the stands or on the field? On the field. Especially the Liverpool one. I want to be a part of the team. I want to be on the field. You see, in church today, we have a lot of people that sit on the stands and look on the inside of the game. But God is calling his church. He's calling you and you and you and you. All of us. Hey, guys, get out of the stands. Get onto the field. It's time to be part of the game. God is calling you to be part of his story. He wants you to be part of his story. You see, when we are engaged in the kingdom, we love the kingdom of God. And we don't criticize one another. We don't criticize that minister. And we don't criticize that minister. Why? Because we are part of the kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're all on the same team. We're all on the field. See, the only criticism that really comes is those on the stands. That was me yesterday. I was criticizing the box on that TV. I was shouting. In fact, that TV has to go to E2 for forgiveness. That TV didn't know what I was doing to it. I was so upset. But I tell you what, the box didn't hear one word. They didn't care what I had to say. In fact, they weren't even listening to what I had to say. And you know, when we're involved in the kingdom, we're not moved by what people say. We're not moved by criticism. We don't criticize one another because we are all part of extending God's kingdom to the world. We are all part of His story. Come on, tap your neighbor, tell him you're part of the story. You're part of His story. Hello, somebody. We're going to be part of extending God's kingdom to Midrand. We're going to be part of God's story. Then lastly, engagement moves people forward. And this is very powerful. Engagement moves people forward. You know, only when a car is engaged does it move forward. I don't know if you heard this joke. This person phones the dealer that just bought a brand new car, automatic. This person phones in and says, "I have a problem with this car that I just bought from you." And the dealer says, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "Well, during the day it drives beautifully. But at night it goes nowhere." Dealer was so confused. He says, "I don't understand. Just put me through the process." And the person said, "Well, during the day I take the gear and I put into D for day. And it drives beautifully. But at night I put it into N for night and it just goes nowhere. Your car is broken." You see, it's only when the car is in gear, when it is engaged, that you move forward. But here's the powerful thing about moving forward, is that it's only when we move forward that God's able to steer your life. That's why it says the steps of the righteous man. It doesn't say the standing still. It says the step of the man are ordered. As I step, He orders it. As I step, He orders it. As I'm engaged in the kingdom, He steers my life away from the potholes. He steers my life away from the cliffs. He steers my life away from that mountain. He steers my life when I am engaged with Him. God wants to steer your life today. Hello, somebody. So when we're engaged, number one, it keeps us away from worthless distractions. Number two, it grows us, extends us. Number three, we become part of His story. And lastly, it moves us forward. You say, "Samuel, how can I be engaged?" Well, do you know that just praying for the church, you're engaged? Interceding for the ministers, interceding for God's people, you're engaged. You know, by serving on a Sunday, being part of the dream team that you've seen around, that's getting engaged in the kingdom. The guys that stand at the exit when you leave today, they are engaged. Do you know that just standing there, they are enlarging the kingdom? You got to understand, just by allowing traffic to move, they're making people say, "Listen, I want to come back here." They're not targets that you must go towards. Right? They are enlarging the kingdom. By giving, we are engaged. By leading, we are engaged. Take the skills that you are doing in the marketplace, the talents that you're using in the marketplace, and bring them into the kingdom. Because the skill that you have and the talent you have, guess where it came from? It came from God. The ability you have to teach, the ability you have to put things together, the ability you have to problem solve, the ability you have to sort things out. All that is good for the marketplace, and God wants you to be a testimony for the marketplace. But guess what? Take some of that energy and bring it into the kingdom. Pull it into the church. No, the church has never meant to be a cruise ship. I don't know if you've been on a cruise ship. I've never been on a cruise ship, but most people I've heard, they say it's terrible. Anyway, I get seasick, so I'll never go. But on a cruise ship, there are 5,000 people that have come as customers. They've come to have a good time. They're going to sit on the long chairs, and they're going to order their Coke, and they're going to enjoy their break. But there's another 1,000 people that are on the same boat, and they're working 24 hours. They're making sure that the ship is clean. They're serving people. They're making the food, making the beds, making sure that everything is fine for the customer. That's a cruise ship. 5,000 people enjoy it. 1,000 people work hard. Well, the church is never meant to be like that. And sometimes the church can be a cruise ship where, you know, when you come to church and you find the parking you always want, park your car under this tree. This is my parking. Walk into church and you say, this is my seat. Excuse me, the aircon's a bit cold. Thank you. Excuse me, the sound, Mr. JP, is a bit loud. Beautiful sermon. I'm impressed with the sermon today. Good job. Customer service, great. And we leave this place just like a cruise ship. But I've come to declare to you today, God is not looking for cruise ships. He's looking for battleships. That every church needs to be a battleship. Do you know why? Because a battleship has a mission. See, a cruise ship goes to the island, comes back, no mission. A battleship has a mission. A battleship has every person on the ship has a purpose. Every person on a battleship has a function. From the potato peeler to the pilot who flies the F-16s and the F-14s. Every person is crucial. Because if everyone thinks that the potato peeler is not good enough, I tell you what, everybody's going to be upset because there's no chips. But when every person applies their ability and their function on that ship will be a success. And our church is like a battleship. We believe every person has a function in the kingdom of God. You're not just born to go to work Monday to Friday, watch the sport on Saturday, go to church on Sunday and start it all again. That was never your function. That was never your purpose. God has you here for a reason. You are a soldier in the army of Christ. You are on a race that is set before you. You are a farmer that is sowing. That is what God is calling us to do.